joint with coal.
Cult comedy pod.
It's Matt.
Psycho Boy.
Hello, you're listening to Cult Comedy Pod. I'm Tony Basnett, joined as always by the absolutely fantastic, lovely, brilliantly dressed, the walking legend that is the person who is about to listen to everything I say and then go, yeah. It's Tony Wright.
That's me.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
I really hope that you just went, yeah. Yeah.
I am grand.
Good. It's nice to hear. And the one thing we should bring up before we go anywhere with this, to every single person who came to the live show, thank you so much. That is the most fun I've ever had on stage.
Yeah, it was like, for both of us, it was nothing like we've ever done before. And I imagine for a lot of people there as well, it's like the first time you've seen like a live podcast. It was all just such a cool experience. Really, really fun.
I think watching people giggle at the playlist before anything else is where we went, we're going to enjoy this.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll have the footage very soon to be able to put on Patreon.
Yes, if you weren't there, if you couldn't make it, sign up to Patreon. We'll have it up online in the next few weeks for you to go and enjoy. If you like what we do, do sign up to the Patreon as well. There are other extras, including the episode of Outtakes for the Order of the Solar Temple episode, which I have been described as chaotic.
Our first episode of Outtakes was from a bunch of episodes. And in the second episode, all of the outtakes are just from one.
One
episode. Just so over the top and chaotic that it was just...
And it's twice the length of the original Outtakes episode.
Incredible.
If you like what we do but can't afford to join on our Patreon, that's absolutely fine. Like, rate, subscribe, tweet about us, share what we do, tell a friend. Just any word from you guys really helps us, and that would be really lovely. This week, we are looking at the Holy Rollers.
Best name ever.
I really enjoyed this episode. I think this is a lot of fun. I think you're going to very much enjoy it.
Yeah, this is, as far as the story goes, it's a bit more chill compared to typical cult. This is more of like a, this is an easy listening.
Yeah, there is a lot of points though where I feel like we could be yelling timber because it's going down. We begin this week in 1870.
Ooh.
Back in time.
Oh, I'm excited. I really like an old time story.
Back in my day, 1870. I'll tell you me tales. Is that how we're starting?
Yep.
All right, here we go. 1870. For those of you who weren't around back in my day, it was when the Franco-Prussian War begun. I hope that went well for everyone. It was also the year that the Brooklyn Bridge opened.
So here's the thing. Do you know how accents change over time, right? The way people sound in the UK now, they didn't sound like this even in the 1970s.
Right.
Did they have the Brooklyn accent that we know in 1870?
Oh, you mean you think that somebody started building a bridge and someone's like, what's going on here?
Hey, I'm building it! Wise guy, eh?
I want to get over the other side. What you doing about it? We are working on it. I promise. I promise. It's also the year that Richard Wagner premiered The Valkyrie, which included the Alton Towers music. I'm not entirely sure what he called it at the time, but the Daniel Bryan's out again. Banger of a track. The reason we're back in 1870 is because that is the year that Franz Edmund Krefeld, commonly known as Edmund Krefeld, was born. He was born in Germany in 1870. And I don't do this a lot, right? But I'm going to put the picture out on Twitter. Look at this man's face, right? I'll show you him now.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a creepy boy.
That is the definition of only a mother could love.
Yeah.
And I'm not entirely sure, you know. decisions were made for him when he looked in the mirror and still went, I could probably be a cult leader.
Yeah. He like, he's got the face of someone who's in the bookies every day. I know it's weird, like, you know exactly who I mean.
I do. He's absolutely got the face, yeah. He looks like the man who buys a soft drink and stands at a fruit machine. That's enough years of bar work to upset me. So not much is known about his earlier life, apart from the fact that other children probably went, get that fucking scary child away from me. Because I've only seen a picture of him as an adult, and I genuinely still think he's got better looking with time. I imagine as a child, there's horror films about him. So the only thing that we really know is that he emigrated to America sometime in the late 80s. That's 1880. The first real mention we could find of Edmund was in 1899 when he joined the Salvation Army in Portland. While he was in the Salvation Army, he frequently travelled across Oregon, spreading the word of God and raising funds for the Salvation Army to help those in need. Whilst he was part of the Salvation Army, though, he began to grow unhappy with the organisation. He claimed that its people were not entirely of God, and that he could no longer take part in soliciting for funds.
Ooh, high horse.
You don't know what God wants.
That's not German.
I know what God wants. I know what God wants. God wants me.
I love that your German accent was just grew from the Despicable Me film. And it's great because he's definitely going to get some minions later in the story, isn't
yes.
he?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realise we'd started doing accents correctly. I do not want you to know why you are not... Why are you taking money from these people?
It's honestly like Steve Carell is in the room.
Fucking wish he was on the podcast. Those listener numbers might increase. He started claiming that he had connections with God himself. That's oh mate, you wanna get into heaven? Oh, I know a bloke. You won't fucking guess who. It's only God.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
Skip late as if he's gonna be at St. Peter, just at the front, being like, nah mate, I know him. I'll ring him, get him out, get him down, I know him, mate. So he's stating that his connection with God was the Holy Ghost. Now, he was stating that it was the Holy Ghost that had directed him no longer to solicit money for the Salvation Army.
Okay.
I always feel, right? You know the Holy Ghost?
Yeah, also mention of the Holy Ghost, I think, is a shot moment, so take a shot.
And for those of you who haven't played the Tony Wright drinking game extraordinaire, anything that is very culty, you will be told to take a shot.
Yeah.
And you damn well better. Unless you're driving, in which case, take two!
Have the whole damn bottle, baby!
Baby! Right. Now, I know there's not a lot in the Bible of people having a laugh.
No.
There's no practical jokes. There's that bit where Jesus twatted round a bank. That sounded a bit jackass.
Yeah.
I'm Jesus Christ, and I'm going to upset these bankers all day today. But I just feel, if you're the Holy Ghost, not once in the Bible does the Holy Ghost say boo.
No, yeah.
Waste of time. I just feel the Holy Ghost could have made an appearance in Casper. The Holy Ghost sounds fucking boring.
Yeah. If you are the Holy Ghost, which is like the ultimate ghost, you're wasting your powers, you're wasting your time.
You are the whole G. That's my favourite joke.
Just stop listening now.
Bye everyone.
We've peaked.
In 1903, Edmund ended up resigning from his position. After parting with the Salvation Army, he began to proclaim that he was God's elect.
Shot. Take a shot.
Instantly.
Yeah. They all do this, don't they? They're all like, I'm actually, I've just got a promotion from God.
I also think, like, why is it God's elect and not God selected? It's so close in letters. But it could have been like, God selected me.
God select.
I'm God's elect. And I'm here to tell you that when I'm around, God's erect.
3-1. Well, the crowd said, God selects, bruh.
Here we go.
We haven't done Garage on this.
No, but today's the day. Oh, my Garage knowledge isn't what I want it to be. It's a Garage and R&B crossover, which will give me a bit of freedom. So it was his job to spread God's word as a messenger. Which is your job as a messenger?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I'm here to spread God's word. I'm his messenger.
Is a messenger door to door?
Ooh.
Or is it just like...
little box outside of Primark. Yeah. And I'll tell you, Vanta, that God is angry at your £4 t-shirts. I don't care if they're at 3-pack. I'm apparently Ian McKellen. I meant to be Groot. Don't give your money to the Salvation Army. Come join God's elect with me. Somewhere between Groot and Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm going to need your religion, your God, and your motorcycle. Edmund moved around Oregon to different cities, preaching his take on Christianity, most of which were places he had previously visited with the Salvation Army and had connections to.
Oh, he's poaching.
I remember this place. There's some great places to meet people round here.
I wonder how I even knew this place.
The people from some of the cities that he visited, though, immediately dismissed him for being too extreme and not believing that he had a contact with God.
Wait, how come...
No shit, Oregon!
Of all the cults we've done, right, this is the furthest back in time we've gone. How have they got more sense in 1870 than they did, like, 5 years ago?
Because, as I will direct everyone to our Twitter and Instagram to look at this man's face, if he goes, I know God... This guy walks up to you in a park with the cold dead eyes of a shark and just goes, I know God, and I'm going to take you as far as God needs you to be. Everyone's going, bit fucking much.
Yeah. What? How much have you sniffed?
I don't trust you. I don't think you've got God's interests at heart.
You've just spoke to me for 5 minutes straight and you've not blinked once. Get away from me.
So he decided to keep moving, and in 1903, he arrived in Corvallis, Oregon. The population of this city was fairly poor, but they were close-knit and dominantly religious.
Right.
So he walks in to this group of poor people who all know each other, and they're already like, I believe in God.
I'm very committed to this.
I really thought about doing an accent then, but the only one that I could do was the Tenacious D. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe in God. Which I'm fairly sure is Canadian.
Yeah. Do you know, Oregon is one of those that's sort of like, what is the accent there? There's so many distinctive, like, you can pinpoint sort of like a Texas accent or a New York accent or, you know, like the
California. Here.
Californian accent. What is Oregon? What do they sound like?
Send us voice notes.
Yeah.
We don't care which social media. Send us a voice note if you're listening from Portland so we can hear your voice.
Even if you just want to like slag us off in a voice note, we'll accept it.
So it was the people that were there, as well as the connections that he'd already gained in the Salvation Army, that contributed to the people of Corvallis openly accepting Edmund.
Weird.
To the... Some people like that kind of thing. They go, you know what? If you look past the eyes, real far...
This guy could be exactly what I need.
Yeah.
He will take me far.
Edmund Preachend started off as very typical Christian teachings, but as he gained followers, his teachings became more and more radical.
Oh, I think...
Far out, dude. Maybe we should all go surfing.
I don't know if that's necessarily a shot moment, but just fill your glass up anyway.
Get it ready. We know it's coming. He began to profess about his direct interactions with God.
Yeah, there we go.
There's your shot.
That's the one.
We've had a lovely time. You had almost a sentence. And he claimed that anyone could reach this level of spiritual perfection.
But I bet they don't.
What a great phrase, though. Spiritual perfection. He's like, yeah, dude, totally radical. Smashed your spirituality.
I'll tell you what, he has been a lot more... Again, so many cults that are a little bit more recent have such weird language. But he's very, like, straight to the God's elect, spiritual perfection. It's just, like, what it needs to be.
It's the 1870s. I ain't got time for doing all those fancy words. Just got to get to the point. Move on, okay?
See?
Where we're from, gotta get to the point. Gotta tell you what you need to know. God's coming, but not too soon. Not too soon. He's gonna tell you all through me what's going on around here. Don't you worry about that. I'll let you know. You want to reach a bit of spiritual perfection? You gotta try hard. You gotta follow me. You gotta listen to every word I say. Okay?
This is just 1920s journalist. Get it in the paper. I need a news article by tomorrow morning.
You gotta get this guy. He's gonna be in Despicable Me. Despicable Me. Despicable Me 2. Minions. Minions 1. Minions 2. Minions 3. You're never gonna believe what happened with this story. You want to be...
Oh, so this episode is the rise of Gru.
This is the rise of... Oh, the rise of Gru. No, like, because the sequel to that, the rise of Gru 2, that starts with, hello, hello, hola! The idea that he could give any ordinary person the ability to talk to God is what convinced his followers of his magnificent power. That's incredible. The fact that he went, oh, this thing I've made up, you can do that if you try really hard.
Yeah.
That's him going, oh, I can transport myself to space every night, and if you just sign up for $9.99 a month every single week, I can help you transport yourself to space every single night.
It's called lucid dreaming. Anyone go, fuck off.
It's not real and the danger's still there. Have you ever tried any of that lucid dreaming?
No.
You can leave your own body and... Like, take control when you're in your dreams.
I don't like that.
No.
There's been some dreams where I've been a little bit more conscious of the fact that I'm asleep and that I can sort of manipulate where the story's going, and I don't like that power. I wouldn't say it's full on lucid dreaming, but there's been some nights where I'm just sort of like, I'm in my dream, I'm talking to a human, and then my brain goes, this is a dream, you know, and I just change the human, and I'm like, I don't like that.
I shouldn't have this power.
No, thanks.
I tried it, as much as I'm taking the piss out of it, I tried it once, I couldn't do it,
right.
Don't believe it, but in the same kind of state of consciousness, half aware that it's a dream, and I was in some horror scenario, because day-to-day nightmares can't deal with them when I'm awake. Can't deal with them when I'm asleep.
I feel like the dreams that you have more control of become more scary. They're the ones that always go like horror themed.
See, mine were already horror themed because what's the point in being asleep if you don't wake up sweating? But I was in this scenario and I went, oh, I'm dreaming. And then my instant thought was, surely that means I can fly. And in my own dream, I flew... But for some reason, hadn't checked if there was a ceiling, flew straight into the ceiling, high speed, knocked myself out, woke up, scared I was dead.
Amazing. I love that.
That's why I should not be allowed to do your lucid fucking dreaming, because apparently, even in your dreams, you've got to check for ceilings. What's the point in being asleep?
It's a lesson. Some dreams are just a lesson. They're like, you can do anything as long as you are aware of the parameters.
Only I can go... Ah, should have done this outside. There was a door. I could have gone to the door and then flew off. But no, fucking straight away, dunk.
And the lesson, kids, is always do a risk assessment.
Yeah, I tried it again a couple of weeks later and that box was too heavy, did me back in.
Fly with your knees. And this is like a tangent of a tangent, but I had my first sleep paralysis experience last week.
Nope.
So when it was a day I was really, really sick. I was like flu-y and cold and stuff. It was weird because a lot of people will say like they sort of wake up and open their eyes and they hallucinate, but they can't move their body. I had a thing where I woke up, but both my body and my eyelids would not move. So I was awake. I knew I was awake, but I could not move my body and I could not open my eyes for like 30 seconds. And the only thing, this is so weird, is I didn't see anything because obviously it's all black because my eyelids are closed. The only thing that got me out of it was I just thought of Eddie from Stranger Things going, "Chrissy, wake up!" As if I got... I got saved from fucking memeing in my own head.
I got told by my partner, and apparently the most terrifying thing I've ever done is, because I will occasionally talk in my sleep, but apparently I woke up in the middle of the night without actually waking up, but I sat bolt upright and went, "Holy shit, what the fuck?"
Right.
So they woke up and went, "Oh my God, what?" And I just sat there, eyes open, bolt upright, saying nothing, and then apparently giggled myself back to sleep.
Oh no, I don't like that.
Still together, genuinely shocked. I would have burnt me and the house down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, that's the end of that.
Also, shout out to Jenny and Ed when Jenny tweeted that Ed was talking in his sleep about us too.
Also, to anyone that messages going, "Oh, please, can I use that as a sound clip for my fucking text messages?" It's yours. Bing bong, text your life!
Are we now just going to purposely try to throw in text tones?
Yeah, I'm going to try and crazy frog our way to popularity. So, to get us back to the story, he was explaining to people how that they could speak to God. He claimed that his followers would all be God's anointed.
Sure. And,
yeah. Don't know why I try to continue talking.
Yeah, no, sure.
They would have their names inscribed on a holy roll in heaven.
Holy roll? Holy roll and shut your mouth!
Holy rollers! Why does it sound like a fucking Beach Boys song? This is one of the reasons, though, that the group would ultimately become known as the Holy Rollers.
Amazing. That's a terrible name. He was doing well so far with like making things make sense. Holy Rollers.
It sounds like he's not named the group, though. This sounds like it's come from, "I see, just down the road here, you gotta look out for those holy rollers coming round picking up your people."
It sounds like a greaser gang from the 50s. But like specifically like 15-year-old greasers.
Yeah, I've just been, I don't know where that voice is. Yeah. 15-year-old there.
Oh, me?
They're, all of them sound like they're in the film Grease, but they're all the women when they're the blokes. And not when Sandra Dee comes out fucking kicking doors down. Holy Rollers sound like they'd fight the Clash fans.
Yep. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw Holy Rollers open for Twisted Sister.
Holy Rollers are the Fruit Winder versions of polos.
Yeah, you definitely can get them in Lidl.
Yeah. Holy Rollers, new from Nestle.
That's a text tone.
Hey, I'll send that text to you, Tom. Edmund's personality was said to be magnetic, probably due to the fact that behind his eyes was such a huge gap. that where you just fell into them, that the gravity pull brought you into it. Many claimed that he had power over others, especially women, that put them under a spell and led to his eventual status as the second coming of Christ.
Oh, I'll take a shot.
When it comes to the second coming of Christ, I know he was God's kid. I do.
I think they've confirmed that.
I mean, Christians confirm loads of things. They've confirmed fucking everyone. But I still believe that Christ was a teenager.
Yeah.
Christ's come loads. If anything, this is the 4,005th coming of Christ.
They also didn't have Netflix back then or anything to like just like keep themselves entertained. So I imagine, Jesus, this is going to be the quote of the episode. Jesus was Red Raw.
He had two things in his hand. It was either a hammer or something as hard as. Oh, you need that nail putting in? I am. You know what? I am off the clock, but I can probably knock it in with this. This is such a visual gag, but just him removing the stone after 3 days, like, coming out like Val Venus without a towel. The Val Venus Jesus crossover gag you don't get on every podcast.
Val Jesus.
Val Jesus. For a magnetic man,
yeah,
you may be wondering, and for those of you who haven't seen the picture yet, he was described by others as being physically unattractive and homely.
What? What? That's such a... like... an incongruous description. It's physically unattractive and homely. It's like, that looks visually unedible, but tasty.
He looks like your nan's Sunday roast. It's very homely, but I can't eat that much salt anymore. I just can't.
It's like someone took the ugly duckling and put him in the ring with Muhammad Ali.
Someone took the ugly duckling, but just surrounded him with IKEA furniture. Oh, it's nice. It is nice.
I think in IKEA standards, ugly duckling translates to wardrobe.
Ugly duckling. Those who interacted with him but were not persuaded by him described Edmund as a hypnotist. Which not enough people are coming at cult leaders going, I think you're Derren Browning pricks here.
That's actually a really good point. I've never thought of that, but pretty much like the brainwashing, it's not the same as hypnotism, but it's pretty much like, that's a good, as an outsider, it's a good term to kind of summarise what they're doing.
Are you just building them up in certain ways so they believe certain things?
They're susceptible to... what you have to say.
And I mean, this guy could be like, looking at my eyes, looking at my eyes, looking at my eyes. You're getting very sleepy. I am. You keep talking. This was mainly because hypnotism was popular at the time and Edmund had taken classes in mental telepathy.
That's... I did a bullshit degree, right? But that's a DOS. That's a DOS 3 years, that.
Is it? Because he seems to have done all right out of it. Many claimed that he was putting his followers under some kind of spell.
Right.
Join me and give me your voice. And if you don't fall in love within 3 days, I shall keep your voice.
And it will sound like Gru from Despicable Me.
Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. That's my Gru doing Ariel from The Little Mermaid. Where are my minions? Edmund didn't hesitate to utilise his leadership as soon as he gained a healthy following of more than a dozen people. He led prayer sessions, sometimes lasting up to 24 hours.
Fucking hell.
Thank you for our daily bread. And
it's gone off.
By the 24th hour. Also, Margaret hasn't taken her bins in. And just, I know you're busy, God. I know you are busy, but like, it's 1904. Those bins stink. And just, if there's anything you could do, that would be lovely. Also, how are you doing? No, that's not right.
Shut up.
I've made these little yellow minions for you. They say they like your bananas. These hours consisted of intense sermons where his followers yelled at God, pleading for his recognition, whilst flailing their arms, rolling on the floor, and collapsing at the end.
Dramatic.
Why don't you fucking love me? As if he's there like, leave it, Gary, they're not worth it. Edmund told them that rolling on the floor would rid them of their sins. This is another reason that the group were referred to as the Holy Rollers.
Oh, that's sad. That's not a good nickname. Have you seen that fucking Holy Rollers? Just screaming about God, just rolling on the carpet.
Just imagine if one of them went, I have found the greatest hill to get rid of my sins. Just, come on, guys, for Jesus. Whee!
Look. Linda, I know you're having a rough time.
Oh, she's back.
But honestly, I've never felt better after shouting at God and just rolling on the floor.
You prick, this is my hill.
Stop, drop, roll, scream.
Stop, drop, yoga retreat. It's gonna be merch. One account of the group's prayer sessions described Edmund shouting, vile clothes, be gone.
Right, okay.
How is he getting those clothes that fit in those tiny vials? That's not what he meant. He meant like bad clothes. And they'd strip naked, doing the same thing before, fall into the ground and just rolling about on the floor. And all you can hear is dicks and tits slapping on the floor.
Imagine walking past that venue and just...
Why, he's like, thank you very much, good night.
So, someone's performing well in there. It's a good round of applause, isn't it?
You know what? Those Holy Rollers must be better than you imagined. The meetings could get so loud and raucous that the noise of them started to drive the townspeople crazy, resulting in officials ordering the Holy Rollers out of town.
Roll out of here. Can you imagine him being there with... The entire town's got their pitchforks and torches and stuff. Like, we need you gone. And just seeing 13 people just roll up the street. Like a horrible little naked conveyor belt.
Like a horny little clown school. This is the most inappropriate trapeze act I've ever seen. First of all, they're not even in the sky. They're just... Digs our ass up. That's the way we like to roll. Just, I really like the idea of him starting at least one sermon with, all right, partner, you know what time it is. Keep rolling, baby. Let this get heard this boom, sermon. Boom, 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 boom. To continue his new church, Edmund invited his followers to join him on a small island 3 miles outside of Corvallis called Smith Island.
Okay. I love that he's just got an island.
Edmund just claimed that the island was the same as the Garden of Eden.
It's the same, isn't it? I mean, there's grass and there's...
And that snake talks, doesn't it? That's my penis. Yeah. If you do the thing with the endo, you can make it chat. So 12 people got naked and I've made this the most vulgar episode.
It's their fault.
Edmund proceeded to rename himself Joshua.
It's a shot, isn't it?
It's absolutely a
it's
shot.
It's a name change. It's a shot.
It was, you know, it's Joshua, a figure in the Old Testament. He led the Israelites to the Promised Land under the direct orders of God. It's just that in the Old Testament, the Promised Land wasn't already called Smith Island, which sounds like the most tedious island. Hello, welcome to Smith Island. Please fill out your paperwork. How long will you be staying? Okay, and is that an exact time? We will need you to be gone before the cleaners come in.
Yeah, it's not going to be an adventurous island when it's got the most common surname in the world. It's second to Muhammad Island.
When they'd moved to Smith, the same as the Garden of Eden Island, he started to declare that his female followers could become brides of Christ if they followed his instruction.
Yeah, that's a shot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Manipulating women.
I imagine his instruction is, marry me. Yeah.
This one guy's had so many voices, but all of them fit.
I don't know.
Marry me.
Marry me, marry me, just, please. Become don't the ever go away.
He's just become Steptoe.
You're going to be my bride, please. I mean, to be fair, by this point, though, his followers feared to oppose anything that I'm still calling him Edmund.
Yeah.
He's the only Edmund we've had.
He's the only Edmund I've ever known.
And you don't know him.
I feel like I know him.
You don't know me, Tony. To be fair, they thought that if they opposed him, then he was giving the direct orders from God. Opposing him meant that they would be damned to hell.
Oh, imagine.
I know. Could have got a hell, put your clothes on. There's already flames. You're going to be fucking roasted.
In hell, you've got to wear three layers. The first day in hell, they give you a cagoule.
And the first thing that you arrive, you roll in, hoping to get rid of your sins. And the first thing you hear is, stop right now. Thank you very much. During this time, Edmund also convinced many of his followers to sell their valuables, separate from their partners and families.
Okay. You know what to do.
And devote your entire life to this religion.
Yeah, finish the bottle.
By this point, he was gaining a lot of opposition from the townspeople of Corvallis. Because he's already left and they're still going, fuck that guy.
3 miles wasn't far enough, douchebag.
So they're like, keep going. You can't. No. So they believed the idea of women running freely around and abandoning their family was due to him mentally corrupting them.
Right.
They're spot on.
Yeah, they're not wrong.
Life on the island soon became less than comfortable for the rollers.
Not enough space.
Curly roll salt. The edge. I keep getting my dick wet, but not in the way that I want.
It's your fucking water again.
I've got 13 followers. Blop. I've got 12 followers. Okay, we really should have chose higher ground. The main reason for their discomfort was that they were living in tents with limited access to food. Because, this is Smith Island, we don't have shops here.
Yeah.
It led to their move to the home of the O.V. Hurt. This was a father of two of Edmund's female followers, which was just outside of the Corvallis city limits.
Oh, so he's come back as well.
Guess who's back with his rolling chat?
Will you let me stay if I put pants on? That's the compromise.
We got 21 seconds to roll. All these sins, my eyes look like holes. 21 seconds to roll. We gotta roll. That's just the followers going off the edge of Smith Island.
get 21 Seconds to Rome.
So Hurt didn't want anything to do with the group. However, his daughters persuaded him to let them stay. They continued to have loud and intense meetings, which mainly involved yelling and rolling around on the floor. And these gatherings could apparently be heard from a quarter of a mile away from the Hurt house. I was in a band when I was a kid and we could be heard up the street, but we were fully dressed with a drum kit.
I'm enjoying this cult purely because it just seems that they're doing... Do you know the episode of The Simpsons where the Japanese TV makes them convulse on the floor? It's essentially what they're doing.
So far, this is the cult where I go, hang on, so it's just roly-polies and listening to you talk. I'm not the angriest of... And your options are, it's very much one of those, to listen to, I imagine it's very annoying. But to be part of sounds a lot of fun.
Yeah, this honestly, like...
You've got 12 people playing bogeys at the same time.
On 1905 or wherever we are, it sounds like a riot.
This is how they were enjoying themselves.
I'm not going to lie. I want just a day in the life.
Fuck, I just thought about the greatest joke of someone rolling off Smith Island. That didn't happen, but the great... Because they're rolling in the deep. Oh, here we go. Now we're getting into the serious business. Orgies were also said to have taken place in the home.
Okay.
All these naked people rolling around on the floor making lots of noise.
It's
going to happen, isn't it?
It's not really much of a surprise. Oh, eventually, rolling on the floor screaming isn't going to be your outlet. Like, it's not going to... The effects of it's not going to, like, hit as much after a while, you know? At first, it's quite...
Hello there.
It's liberating at first, and then eventually...
I can't roll anymore.
You're just holy rolling on the floor. Holy rolling. Been gone too long in the midnight sea.
Big group keeps on rolling. No. Big group keeps on rolling. Rolling. Oh, geez, keep on forming. Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling for Jesus.
Been kicked off Corvallis City.
Edmund began putting many rules in place, including everyone sleeps on the floor in one room with little to no clothing. Little to no clothing definitely sounds like he's gone, Darren, you're keeping your pants on. It's ugly to look at.
So are you, Edmund. Touché.
Just, that's a veruca. You're going to need a sock. There's only so much my minions can do. One cult leader, five voices. He's also convinced the group to take all of Hurt's furniture outside to burn, which led to many of his followers going into other people's homes to raid even more objects and valuables to just burn in the fire over the next few
days. That's not what he asked.
Go get that grandfather clock. Look what I found from next door. It's a four-piece couch and half a family. There's like 10 clothes on these. She's going to look great. A crowd of nearly 200 people gathered outside the Hurt home that night. Even more came in the next few days, as many had to see what was happening to believe the rumours.
All right, so this is just an audience. It's not like followers. These are not just people going like, what the fuck is happening in this house?
That's my couch.
Why is there a bonfire and why is there so many people naked rolling on the floor?
Most people are worried about hedgehogs. We're worried about bloody Carol. Did anyone check where Carol was before we put all those couches up? She seemed fine. She was rolling her way. No, but we should probably just stick a stick in and see if someone screams at God before we set fire to it. Burn the bastard. Talk of the holy rollers in the streets of Corvallis continued to heighten as many knew that something had to be done to stop Edmund once and for all.
Oh, Batman. Get Batman.
I'm Batman. I'm Edmund. Holy rollers, pleased to meet you. Whee!
There's a sixth voice.
You can fly, but can you roll with your dick out?
You can stop me if you can catch me. Everybody get down.
Oh, you're Batman. I'm Fat Man. One night, a group of 20 men calling themselves the White Caps. Yeah, I'm not sure about them.
I'm, yeah. The Clan.
They've really not come in with the strongest of titles.
Yeah, no.
sorry. One night, a group of 20 men calling themselves, get back to where you came from!
The Pillowcases.
Plan to confront Edmund and the rest of the rollers at the house.
Nice.
The fact that they were called the Holy Rollers and not the Holy Rolly Derby. That's what they should have called the Big Burning. They proceeded to tar and feather Edmund and the two other male followers, warning them never to return to Corvallis.
You get out of here.
Due to the threat, the group decided to move to Portland. Which,
and they joined the listeners of this podcast.
I just don't know why they didn't go back there sooner. Yeah. Should we go to that tiny island and that bloke's house right next to all those people that hate us? Yeah, that seems like a good idea. Does it? Does that seem like a good idea? After Edmund arrived in Portland, a man named Burgess Starr filed a complaint against Edmund, claiming that Edmund had committed adultery with his wife, Donna Starr.
Burgess and Donna Starr. It's like Ike and Tina Turner. Big wheels keep on rolling.
Donna Starr sounds like a takeaway I'd go to. Apparently Donna...
Who would win? Donna Starr or Donna Summer?
Donna Summer. Donna had apparently been one of the rollers since the beginning. Following Burgess Starr's complaint, 20 more men came forward to claim similar cases against Edmund.
I mean, do you know what? He's for a man that is physically, like, the most unappealing person in history, he's doing all right, isn't he?
He is very much using his power over women to get what he wants.
Sounds like men.
This prompted calls to capture Edmund, involving both police officers and citizens, with a reward of $350. To be fair, in today's money, that is $12,500.
That's like my year. That's what I earn a year.
Due to the manhunt, Edmund fled. But this time, nobody found him for months. Nope. Big hill rolling down it. See you later. Whee! Can't catch me, I'm the slippery man. That's voice number 8 for him.
He's just the greased up naked deaf guy from Family Guy, isn't he?
That's how I imagine him fleeing.
You're never going to catch me.
Many took part in the search for the reward money, but others just wanted him stopping for good. As there was not anything legally wrong with what they were doing, it made the opposition of those around them even worse because they couldn't take him to court.
Yeah.
They couldn't be, you stole my wife! Because you just look like a bitter ex-husband.
Yeah.
So the mental state of the actual group and followers was the focus of the prosecutions from this point on, claiming their insanity in hopes that they could be put in an insane asylum instead of continuing their disruptive and disturbing practices. Yeah. So everyone around is going, they're clinically insane, lock them up, shut them up.
Do you know what, that's a fair, like, that's a good angle to take when literally what they do is meet up naked and roll on the floor screaming for God. Do you know what? I think they might be onto something there with the old insanity claim.
One by one, the rollers were admitted either to the Oregon Insane Asylum or the Boys and Girls Aid Society, depending on their age. And they went in, and somebody else was rolling on the floor screaming, and they went, another member! Reasons for insanity ranged from having hallucinations of communicating with God to wearing your hair down or walking around town barefoot. They really just took swings with whatever they could hit them with, I think.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
You're speaking to people who aren't there? Yeah. Where's your fucking shoes? Yeah. Get in the van! 4 months after his disappearance, Edmund was found underneath Hurt's house in Covellis by his younger son, Roy Hurt.
Why is he not trying to find somewhere new?
Gonna roll under your potch. Hope you never see me. Holy roller, hiding under the potch and staying alive. Roy Hurt is the most British wrestler name from the 60s.
Yeah, yeah, that's world of sport level.
I'm Roy Hurt.
Believes it's real.
Edmund was taken into custody and many people raced to Corvallis in hopes of lynching or killing Edmund, which created a mob outside of the jail. They're all like, we're going to get him, we're going to get him. And days later, he was moved to another county jail in Portland because loads of people were trying to kill him, and that's not how putting someone in jail works.
Let me into that cell. No. Not at all.
Because if I let you in that cell, I'm going to have to lock you in that cell. And someone's going to have to clean it first. It just... We've got one, right? Let's call it a day. Edmund's trial took place on September 16th, 1904. It's 10 days and 85 years before I was born.
93 for me.
Jesus Christ, you're a child. Appearing before the judge, Edmund claimed that he didn't need a lawyer, which is my favourite. Serial killers do this a lot. They just go, I don't need a lawyer. I can talk my way out of this. Edmund claimed he didn't need a lawyer because God would will whatever was meant to happen. Donna Starr admitted to the actions that Edmund was accused of claiming that she was inspired by God and truly believed that relations with Edmund allowed her to purify herself. It's a horrific sentence.
Yeah, it's gross.
Put it in me and purify me. He's a horrific looking cult leader. He's not a Brita filter. Come on.
Purifying. It's like, this dude looks like he hasn't washed in about 7 years.
Yeah. He was sleeping under a house.
He also spent most of his adult life rolling on the floor nude.
4 other witnesses testified against Edmund, claiming not only that he'd committed adultery with many women, but also that the reason that their mothers, daughters and sisters were going insane was because he'd made them the brides of Christ. I get that you're unhappy that they're in a cult, and I understand fighting against that. But if you've got to stand there in court and go, yeah, you messed them up. You made them the brides of Christ. You look as silly.
Brides of Christ is like the spin-off to Sons of Anarchy with an entirely lesbian cast.
I'd watch it. He was found guilty and sentenced to 2 years in the Salem State Penitentiary. All Edmund had to say to the judge and jury was, God bless you.
Oh, that's baller, that.
As if all 13 of them had just fucking sneezed. Bold claims. 17 months later, Edmund was let out of jail for good behaviour and got community service. Yeah, put him on community service. Put him around other people that he can talk to and help the community. Have we learned nothing?
Good behaviour, of course, because he was jailed for just shagging people's wives and he didn't get to do that in jail. So I guess that is good behaviour, isn't it?
By the time he was out, though, all of the Holy Rollers had been released from whatever asylum or institution that they were being held in, even though many were not said to be cured of their insanity. Don't know why I made that sound so Halloween-y. Cured.
Cured. So the asylums and that just got bored of having these people in.
He's out. Let them out.
Oh, Just go and roll, do whatever you want. I don't care.
It's reunion time, baby.
Shirts off. Spring break, baby.
The boys are back in Corvallis.
Your boys are back.
Soon after his release, Edmund decided that he wanted to find a new Eden, considering the last two that he found genuinely nearly got them killed repeatedly.
Yeah.
His new holy place was located near the Yakuts River, south of Newport, and close to the Oregon coast. After notifying all of his followers, they travelled to the coast.
That's quite the job as well. Obviously, communication back in those... long-distance communication was difficult.
You know that they all just turned up just on the edge of Corvallis, though, like...
What's happening next?
Like, looking at their husbands going, hey, I'm back. And then he walked back and the husband's like, well, I'm really unhappy about this, but I don't want to be the man who got divorced because that looks really bad. Yeah. And then he wanders back into town and goes, beach party! And they've all just got their tops off running, following him. And the husbands are like, yo, why I drink?
Come on, everybody, we're going skinny dipping for Jesus.
This guy, he's so far that if you're like, by comparison to cult leaders, granted, the brainwashing, the stealing people from their families, the actual cult aspect, very bad. The rolling about having a giggle sounds great fun.
That's what mostly what they've done.
It's just,
it's like rolling about having a giggle, and then there's like maybe an orgy at the end.
And you know what? If that happened every weekend, I'd believe in God.
Yeah, this one sounds a lot more fun than the ones where you have to work for 16 hours a day and then, I don't know, just get beaten up in the name of God.
As the group left to follow Edmund for a second time, those in Corvallis got angry again. You can't just come back and nick me wife again.
Oh, come on!
It's as if someone's nicked your car, but you've walked past it, found it with your spare key, nicked it back, drove it back home, and then the next day you've got up and it's gone again. You're like, I'm not on a bloody timeshare with you, it's my car! It resulted in Lewis Hartley, a father of one of his brides, attempting...
And the inventor of jelly.
Lewis Hartley, they all taste the same, but they're different colours. He was a father of one of the brides. He attempted to shoot Edmund 5 times, but each time the gun missed fired. And this led to the belief that Edmund could not be killed.
Oh.
If you are Lewis Hartley, and you're going to shoot a man who claims that he's been sent by God, and your gun misfires, you go... Well, I'll look a dick if that happens again. 5 times. There's got to be a bit by the 4th time you're going, he could be, you know.
I don't know. Or maybe it's 1906 and the guns are shite.
Hey, all right, fair enough. During this time, this seems like the most aside sentence that just has been slipped in, but stay with me. During this time, Edmund convinced his followers that he'd caused the San Francisco earthquake of 1906 and could do the same in any city.
Why would he do that?
Shits and gigs.
Guys, I'm really stressed and I've just, you know, wanted to make San Francisco shake. Just breaking all the houses. I wanted to do it.
There's a lot of hills in San Francisco. You shake it a little bit, everyone's rolling. The group finally reached their destination to the Yakuts River. After arriving, they were soon driven out by neighbouring people who found their practices disturbing and disruptive. Send someone ahead! Check you're going to be okay where you go! Edmund decided that he would go north to find a better place in Seattle, while the rest of the group found a beach down the coast where they would live until Edmund returned for them. At this point, there were multiple men from Corvallis racing to find Edmund and kill him.
This sounds like the whole thing is just the plot to the Blues Brothers.
I really thought this is how wacky races started.
It's fucking genius. I'm enjoying every second of this.
Edmund knew this and told his followers that if death was his fate, They were to eat the flesh and drink the blood of his murderer.
Oh,
what?
That's a brutal retaliation, that.
Right. If someone kills me, there's 13 of you, eat him. Roll him into a flatbread. Nibble on his toes. Meanwhile, two men, George Mitchell and Edwin Baldwin, who I've checked, but I haven't found out if he's related to Alec, Stephen or the other one. They were on the hunt for Edmund. They both had family in the Holy Rollers. George Mitchell was especially connected, as one of his sisters, Esther, was to be the second mother of Christ, and his other sister was Donna Starr.
Oh, he's had a bad time, isn't he?
I mean, to be fair, though, if he's still at his parents' house, he's got the bigger room. Always look for the positives. Mitchell believed that he was chosen by God to kill Edmund. I think he's clearly said that as a joke and someone's reported it as him going, I was chosen by
God.
Whereas he's done it, like, he's got a toothpick in his mouth and he's just going, oh, that guy. I was chosen by God to kill him.
Yeah. And that was how the episode of CSI Miami started.
Baldwin clearly voiced his ambitions to kill him. However, Mitchell insisted that he had to do it himself.
Oh, this Mitchell's like got it in his head that he is the star of the action movie. I must do it alone.
It's my last day on the job. One last murder and I'm out, man.
It needs to be me. I must kill him. Gets on horseback.
After following one of Edmund's followers to Seattle, Mitchell walked up and down the streets for a week. Oh. How many streets were there in 1906? He was just hoping that he would come across Edmund. On May the 7th, 1906, he finally spotted him at a convenience store where Mitchell pulled out a revolver, pointed at the back of Edmund's head, pulled the trigger and killed him instantly.
Yeah, right.
So that is the Holy Rollers.
That's a wild ride. That's a really, like, condensed story, I feel. It's not... It travelled very quickly. And it just, everything was just, it was extreme.
They weirdly didn't do a lot, but in such a fun, horrific way.
Yeah, yeah. Again, it was like, apart from being really annoying, they didn't do anything.
No.
That's all they were. They were really annoying.
Turn it down! Put that away!
They were really annoying neighbours that would just have orgies and roll on the floor all the time.
And if we live next door.
And also, it's just one guy that just kept shagging people's wives.
He does sound like a prick.
He's a bellend. Oh, he's not fun.
He's a bellend, oh. And you can see it.
Every man in this in the town knows Edmund and like, what a cunt. But it's like, I don't think the people that were with him were necessarily like suffering or anything.
Yeah, they're having a great time.
He was ruining everyone's lives around the cult, but this is probably the first cult where the actual people were all right.
They seemed fine apart from the fact...
They were a bit hungry.
A bit hungry at times, and...
But again, that's because they're homeless.
And he was cheating on all of them, but he kind of did tell them all.
It's not like he was making a shit ton of money by being the leader of the cult and living a life of luxury.
No, he turned against the idea of taking their money.
He was just with them and was like, let's all just get rid of stuff and then...
Let's burn all of our stuff and show me them titties.
Thank you for listening to Cult Comedy Pod. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter @Cult Comedy Pod, and we'll be back next week with another episode.